We talked about the left hand, that's real clear. Why don't you talk about the right hand in stride again?
The right hand has to do two things. Stride pianists, as most jazz pianists before bop, were concerned more with the song than making a very, very abstract solo.
In other words, with melody.
The song or the melody they were playing. Melody and the song, I think, are the two things. They're synonymous for purposes of this radio program.
So stipulated.
Take judicial notice. For instance, in the first Fats Waller recording in 1922, both sides, Birmingham Blues and Muscle Shoals Blues, he just plays the melody. He limits his jazz improvisation to little fills like this, Birmingham Blues. Now, he keeps playing that all the way through, but what he does is, the way he changes is he goes like this. That little thing is the extent of what he's doing. Later on, of course, he became more abstract, and by that time, James P. was also an incredible improviser. But the right hand is supposed to remind you of the melody and do the riffs at the same time. The left hand is supposed to give you the rhythm, the harmonic background. But you have to have harmony in the right hand, too.
You want to play Birmingham?
Well, I'll start off with Birmingham. Yeah.
And then we're going to segue into Waller's original. That's Waller's first recording from 1922, Birmingham Blues. You're listening to piano stride expert Mike Lipskin on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Redlauer. Thanks for joining me in this third of five programs focusing on the major contributions to jazz of Fats Waller. Clearly, even if he had merely been the outstanding Harlem stride pianist that he was, Waller would have been a major jazz figure, even aside from his singing, popular band records, American standards like Honeysuckle Rose and Ain't Misbehavin', and more than 400 compositions that included major landmarks of jazz piano style, such as the stride showcase pieces Mike will be playing just ahead, Numb Fumblin', and Handful of Keys. Let's paint a picture a little bit more of what was going on with Waller at this time.
Well, as I said, he was 17. He had won, I think maybe the year before, or when he was 15, he'd won an amateur contest playing Carolina Shout, the great James P. Johnson composition, which was a big piano roll hit in black neighborhoods and areas. when Fats's mother died, James P. took him over almost like a second father, even though their age is, I guess, what, about 10-year difference? He stayed with another Harlem character named Russell Brooks. In fact, Russell Brooks introduced him to James P. The story is James P. came home one night and said, "I heard this kid. I know I can teach that boy how to play." Of course, the rest is history. But James P. did teach him, and he taught him more exactingly than Willie taught me. He would slow down his hands, what he was doing. Because Willie Gant, another Stride pianist, studied alongside of Fats with James P., and that's the way James P. would teach them. The difference between Fats Waller's playing at the age 17 and when you hear him in 1929 on Numb Fumbling is like night and day. That's a blues.
Now we're going to hear a contrast to the early Waller, fully mature Stride style of Fats.
Well, he kept changing. He and James P., like healthy artists, they would change their style and use different harmonies as music progressed. But anyway, this is a very big contrast from Birmingham Blues of 1922. This is 1929. Contrast with that the Birmingham Blues.
So these are worlds apart. Yeah, worlds apart. Incidentally, Numb Fumbling, that's an original, it's a Waller original.
Yes, exactly. Right? And I think he wrote it while he was playing it. And if you notice, I didn't play it exactly the way he does on the record, because Stride is a jazz style, as we said before, and you should vary it. Because if you try to do it exactly like the other pianist did, why bother? Let them play it.
What's the point? Yeah.
He's going to do it his way better than I could anyway. We didn't discuss Fast Stride. One of his fast pieces, Handful of Keys, it's one of his most famous display pieces. Thank you.
Very nice. Mike Lipskin playing Fats Waller's Handful of Keys on Jazz Rhythm. Well, since we're talking about the development of Waller's music, now that was the Handful of Keys flowed much more, and there was a lot more sophistication. Did I hear some shifts in tonality?
Exactly. First, I'm playing in the middle range. The funny thing is, though, there was a device that Waller used even on the Birmingham Blues record, where he does this, then he goes, watch this, that's the difference. Now he does that,
so he shifts it up an octave or two.
He does that in Handful of Keys, but they all did that. They all did those specialty pieces that way. James P. may have been one of the first to use that device of playing it up an octave. And I really don't know whether they got it from the piano rolls or the piano rolls got it from them. But that was another very effective device to first play the melodic line or the theme in the middle range of the piano and then repeat it with a different bass pattern in the top.
Thank you. Fats Waller's 1929 Smashing Thirds, among his many original Harlem Stride piano showcases. I'm Dave Radlauer. This is Jazz Rhythm, jumping swing, classic blues, and hot jazz, old and new. Still ahead this hour, more of Waller's original recordings, and more from my guest, Mike Lipskin, demonstrating the humor and refinement of Waller's remarkable piano style. I'm really lucky and very grateful to Mike. He's definitely an outstanding talent who brilliantly illustrates for us the treasures of stride piano.